I worked in healthcare finance in the last several years in some specific specialties. Some of them have been cardiology,
okay.
Pediatrics,
nice.
Neurological surgery.
Wow.
That's serious stuff there.
Yeah.
And most recently, emergency medicine.
Yeah, all right.
And it's very inspiring to see what some of these physicians do on a daily basis. Depending on the specialty, they're actually literally saving lives on a daily basis. But it's great to know that as disciples, God has given us a purpose.
Yes. Yeah.
To help others, to show others the way to heaven, just like it was done to us at some point ago in our lives. So billions of dollars are spent to research, to find cures for diseases so that people can feel better physically. And tonight, we're going to be talking about spiritual health.
Amen.
Come on.
Come on.
Amen. Let's start with Matthew chapter 22. The Bible says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." And Jesus here is teaching the disciples about loving God with our heart, with our mind. I know that the world focuses on the external, on images. However, tonight, we're going to focus on the internal, inside our hearts and minds. So today we'll focus on loving God with all your heart and loving God without your mind. Got a couple of points. The first point is call your fit. That means to love God without your heart. When I worked for cardiology, I managed a budget of $20 million spent on research to ensure that literally we could keep the hearts pumping.
Yes.
If you ask a pregnant woman when she goes to the doctor, what do you think it might be one of the main concerns of the doctor? Any ideas?
Heartbeat.
Exactly. They want to see, can we hear the fetus heartbeat? And some doctors say that checking the fetal heart rate gives important clues into an unborn baby's health and well-being. Spiritually speaking, this applies to us today. Our heart rate from a spiritual perspective.
Come on, bro. Come on,
Gala. Love God with all your heart. Here in Ezekiel, the Bible says, "They will return to it and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God." Amen. Talking about spiritual cardiac surgery, this is it.
Yeah. Come on.
God said, "I'm going to remove your heart of stone, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh."
Amen.
A heart of flesh illustrates that we are sensitive
right.
to the spiritual world
right.
around
that's
us.
That's correct.
And if you look at your life before you became a disciple, our hearts were very hard and not sensitive at all to the spirit and to sin. God says, an undivided heart. I had an undivided heart, but in the wrong direction.
Right.
A heart towards sin, a heart towards the world. In the early 90s, I'm originally from Brazil. My dad, with his vision, wanted the best for me. He said, I'm going to put you on a plane. I'm going to send you to the U.S. to get the greatest education you can have on earth. So I came to the U.S. as an international student. My heart was set on getting the education, getting my college degree, going back to Brazil, focusing on my career, and making a lot of money. That was my dad's plan. That was my plan. That was his heart. That was my heart. Until God put a disciple in my life.
Come on, come on.
Who invited me on campus. Actually, if you know him, Derek Lynn, Drock, for those who know him, you know that he is completely different from me.
Well, come on.
He's African-American. He's got dreadlocks. He can dance and sing. We have nothing in common. But God works in mysterious ways. And as I start studying the Bible, the scriptures start changing my heart. Instead of setting my heart on things on earth, I started setting my heart on things above. My dream was no longer to go back to Brazil to make money, but to go back to Brazil to seek and save the lost. Wow. Actually, at that time, there was not even a church in my hometown. Not that you have to leave the country to have a heart to seek and save the lost. I'm actually very inspired. And it's obvious that the disciples in the United States, they have a heart to seek and save the lost. Wherever you go, literally, you can find disciples. I was driving from Miami to Atlanta from a conference. We were with the church in South Florida. We went by Orlando to get some coffee. Not to Disney, but to get some coffee. Then we stopped in Gainesville, another church. And then we drove to Atlanta. Wow. A 12-hour drive. At least 4 different churches of disciples.
Amen.
Showing the heart to seek and save the lost. So I got married. I have to tell my wife, she is spiritual, beautiful, loving, kind, and a woman of faith. She's from here. She was born in America, raised here. But she was crazy enough that in 1999, our dream was to go and move back to Brazil. Actually, she counted the cost, actually, before we started dating as a boyfriend and girlfriend, she told me. She said, well, if I start dating him, very likely, I will marry him, and he's already told me that he's moving back to Brazil.
Come on.
So she's starting to talk kind of cost. Thank God she did not give up on me.
Amen.
She is an incredible woman of faith.
Amen. Come on.
So there was, in our hearts now, was different. Set on things above. We had the opportunity to move to Brazil in 1999. We went there to visit my brother for his wedding. Went to São Paulo, had a 1-hour talk with some brothers there. Moved back, came back to the U.S. 2 weeks later, we got a call. 3 weeks after that, we were landing in Brazil. We sold everything we had. Michelle quit her master's. And we moved to Brazil. Remember, arriving in São Paulo in February 1999. No cell phones back then. And I would just pray that I hope that the brothers is going to show up. Like São Paulo is like the Brazilian New York. And we got there with 4 bags and $200 in our pockets. Not knowing where we're going to live. Not knowing how much we're going to get paid by the church. But thank God, he changed our hearts.
Amen.
We had the opportunity to stay there for 5 years. And then about 10 years ago, we moved back. Different reasons. And I've been in contact with the brothers in Brazil. And they've been talking about us moving back to Brazil again. You know, I'm at an age, I was like, man, I'm thinking about retirement. You know, and but God is working in my heart. I don't know what's going to happen. But I can tell the Bible has the power to change our hearts.
Amen.
When people say, why are you a disciple? It's because when you put into practice what the Bible says, this stuff works.
That's right.
It does.
Works. Come on, brother.
Powerfully.
That's good.
Amen.
As you get older, life becomes more challenging, and God understands that.
Right.
However, I believe we have to be very careful to not have a divided heart.
Amen.
Right. Between God and the world.
Come on, bro.
You guys might relate to this. Mm-hmm. Talking about men in sports.
Okay.
All right. Express your love. Mm. Soccer fans on the left. Football fan on the right. Mm. Sub-zero temperature. The guy has no shirt.
What do you
think? Expressing. Yeah, he's got gloves on, no shirt. You can figure that out, man. The guy in the back there fell asleep. I don't know how he fell asleep in the cold weather like that. But the point is that we can relate to that. We express our love in our passion. I remember when dating Michelle, she said, can you teach me Portuguese? It's my native language. I said, sure. She said, can you teach me start now? I said, sure. So I'm going to teach you something. You have to repeat. So I told her, repeat. Eu te amo. She repeated. She actually did it correctly the first time. But then I asked her to say it again. No. You have to. You can do better. Eu te amo. So she said like five times. Eu te amo. Actually, eu te amo means I love you. The reason is because I wanted to hear in my own language that means she loves me. She kept repeating, eu te amo, say, yeah, yeah, you can do better. Then she asked, what does that mean? Oh, and by the way, it means I love you. So the first word I taught her in Portuguese was, I love you. And I like these two scriptures because Psalm 18:1 says, I love you, Lord, my strength. Here's David expressing his love for God. I remember growing up with my dad, telling him, I love you. I remember him dropped me off when I was in high school. Dad, I love you. I would hug him, give him a big kiss on the cheek. I didn't care about my friends, but they're thinking about it. The same way I believe that God wants to hear from us. I love you. Come on. Just like men express their passion in sports, how much more should us express our love for God.
Amen.
In Psalm 26, it says, Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. When I think about that, I think about God's church. Amen. About God's body. I remember dating Michelle. If I were to pick her up at 5 p.m., bet I was there exactly at 5 p.m. As a matter of fact, I used to get there at 4:30 just to be safe. I would stay in the car for 30 minutes. You believe it, at 5 p.m. I was pushing that button. It was a special time to go out with her. I don't know about you, but for me, to come to church, it's like going out on a date with God.
Wow.
Come on. That's good.
I want it to be special. I don't want to take it for granted.
Right.
I hope none of us here dating the king in the years past. I bet you showed up for your day, correct? Even sick, you would take 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C, but you would show up. And things will happen. But the question is, what about our hearts? Mm-hmm. Is our desire to be in God's presence.
Wow.
There it says, our heart radio. When we get together, it's an opportunity for us to tune our hearts to God. Wow. To sing our hearts to God's heart so that we can do His will. Mm. So let us not take for granted the opportunity to meet as a body.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible teaches us that we are in an intense spiritual war. Therefore, it teaches us, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The Message translation says, keep vigilant, watch over your heart, that is where life starts. So the Bible emphasizes the importance of us taking care of our hearts from a spiritual perspective. Guard our hearts from what? Oh, Ephesians 6:16 says, from the flaming arrows of the evil one. You see the heart there, kind of protected with the armor around?
Yeah.
They're not just arrows, they're flaming arrows.
Right.
It's intentional. Satan wants to hurt us. The flaming arrows are coming at us daily. We've got to protect our hearts so that we do not become a casualty in this spiritual war. What do you see here? If you can see, it's kind of hard. But what you see there is a gentleman with an open Bible. Behind him is kind of a shadow of an armor. And you've got here coming at him the flaming arrows. He looks pretty comfortable because he has his open Bible. His Bible is open. He's protecting his heart. Just because we might not open our Bibles on a daily basis, whatever the reason might be, it does not stop the flaming arrows from coming at us.
That's right. Come on, bro.
What will happen is that they will continue to come, but we might be unprepared and find ourselves in an emergency room.
Yeah. Come on.
Spiritually speaking.
Come on.
In 2 Corinthians, out of love, Paul is warning the disciples, do not lose heart. Our hearts can become hearts of stone again if we're not vigilant, spiritually speaking. Satan can use sin to harden our hearts if we deliberately live in sin, not being open or repenting. Sometimes Satan can use hard times to tempt us to harden our hearts again.
That's right. That's true.
I remember we were in the ministry in 2003. Things changed. No funding left in Brazil. And me and Michelle, we decided to leave the ministry. We were in São Paulo, about 3 hours by plane from my hometown. Decided to go back to my hometown to be closer to my family. It was a hard time because when we left, we didn't have much. Actually, we didn't have even enough money to fly back to my hometown. I had to call my dad. Obviously, my dad was not very happy that he sent me here and invested thousands of dollars, me going back as a pastor, not as a businessman. And I called him, Dad, things have changed and we're thinking about moving back to our hometown. And he called me, he said, do you have a place to live? I said, nope. He said, do you have a job? Not. I don't have a job either. A few seconds, silent. My parents were divorced. And he said, okay, I'll pay for your tickets. I'll have you guys move in with me. I was about 30 years old. And we'll live with them. You and Michelle will live with me. He never mentioned a word of the past. Never.
That's good.
He could have said, I told you.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Then things didn't work out. Got back together in my hometown. We decided to move back to Atlanta. But we didn't have money to move back to Atlanta again. Michelle called her parents, which were not happy, obviously, that I had just taken his only daughter from the U.S. to Brazil to be a missionary without giving her any future, let's say. And he said, yes, we'll help you guys.
Amen.
We arrived here with 4 bags and $100 in our pockets, not knowing where we would live, not knowing where the next meal would come. It was a challenging time for us. God definitely tested our faith. We reconnected with John and Nima, who were in our wedding. They opened their doors and helped us. It was a hard time.
Yeah.
But I had to be very careful not to let the challenges and the hardships to make me lose my heart for God.
Amen.
Because we did it, and we did it for God, and we don't regret it. Amen. Things could have been done differently, maybe. But still, I did not want to lose my heart for God.
Yeah.
I remember losing my dad. It was the worst nightmare after midweek service 5 years ago. Driving home, my brother calls me to let me know that my dad had passed away. He was in Brazil, Things are done differently in different cultures.
Mm-hmm. It was buried the very following day. So actually, I missed his funeral. And I made it there a week later. It was a very challenging time. I remember Steve calling me on my way to the airport to catch the plane. But I had to fight to not let my heart be hardened because of that difficult time. My dream was for him to meet my son, Double G. And it was in 2011. We were planning to fly to Brazil in December on vacation, and he passed away the same year, but in July. So he actually never got a chance to meet my son in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And still today, I don't understand why, but I have to guard my heart and trust in God's plan.
Right.
Gratitude. When we lose gratitude, it can be a sign of losing our hearts.
Yeah.
We have to be attentive to that. I remember at the clinic, I got in an elevator with this patient. And in the next floor, another patient got in the elevator, a worse condition, situation. In the third floor, the patient that was in a very bad situation left. And I stayed to go to the sixth floor with this other patient who was in better shape, let's say. And she turned to me and she said, every time I come here, I count my blessings.
Wow.
Because I always see someone in a much worse situation, physically speaking. I have to remember, do I count my blessings? I'm not talking about the blessings that you can quantify. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the blessings that you can put a price tag.
Yeah.
Our wives,
mm-hmm.
our kids,
right.
The Bible,
right. Amen.
The church,
yeah. Right.
Salvation,
yeah.
Heaven,
yeah.
Our spiritual blessings are worth much more than our material blessings.
Yeah. That's right.
I once read, do not let your net worth determine your self-worth. We live in a world that, what are your assets?
Right.
Our assets are in heaven.
Right.
But we have to be careful because we can be tempted to accumulate assets on earth. Nothing wrong with that, but we just need to check our hearts.
Right.
Very briefly, here Paul is talking about being grateful. Philippians 4:19. God promises to meet our needs. And now our wants. We're teaching this to the middle school kids. They had a hard time to getting this concept. Because they think that all of their wants are needs. But they're actually not. And for us as well. God promises to meet our needs, but not our wants. Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. My dad, he started a business from scratch, up to employ about almost 4,000 people all over Brazil.
Wow.
I remember living in a penthouse in my hometown, facing the ocean. 10 years later, I was returning to my hometown after we left the ministry, and I did not even have a place to live. When Paul says, I know what it is to have much and to have little. But it's okay to have little and still be grateful.
Yeah, right.
Decide
right,
to be content.
That's right. Come on.
Have you felt like this before? Oops.
Guess not.
Lights out.
Well, it's the cliffhanger on PBS. Okay. Guy is hanging like this, and it's like, well, I cannot hold on, you know, anymore. And so here it says, hanging on to a cliff for dear life. Let me just check my survival manual. For us, the Bible.
Okay.
And then he's hanging on. He says, excuse me. At least he's humble enough to ask for help. He's like, man, I need to be humble enough to ask for help. When I'm in trouble, spiritually, when my heart is not there, it's spiritually. Sometimes we can feel that the hope is gone, that we have reached saturation. This year, the gentleman on the left, you might not be able to see him really well. This is my dad. A man, he was black. He faced a lot of adversities. A man who definitely persevered in trials, from having a company of 4,000 people. I won't get into the details, but because of corruption of another company, he lost his, the bid, and he closed down a company of 4,000 people. From having a lot to losing everything. But he persevered. I would not be here today if it had not been for my dad. The one on the right looks familiar to us, no? Yeah. Martin Luther King. This is a section in at his museum, and I thought it was very inspiring as we visited a couple months ago. It says, my wife had already fallen asleep and I was about to doze off when the telephone rang. An angry voice said, listen, nigger, we've taken all we want from you. Before next week, we'll be sorry if ever came to make the murder. I hung up, but I could not sleep. It seemed that all of my fears had come down on me at once. I reached the saturation point. I got out of bed and began to walk the floor. Finally, I went to the kitchen, heated a pot of coffee. I was ready to give up. I tried to think of a way to move out of the pit without appearing to be a coward. In this state of exhaustion, when my courage had almost gone, I determined to take my problem to God. My head in my hands, I bowed over the kitchen table and prayed aloud. I am here taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid. The people are looking for me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I'm at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I can face it alone. At that moment, I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never before experienced him. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, stand up for righteousness. Stand up for truth. God will be at your side forever. Almost at once, my fears began to pass from me. My uncertainty disappeared. I was ready to face anything. The outer situation remained the same, but God had given me inner calm. 3 nights later, our home was bombed. Brothers and sisters, we must persevere in this spiritual war. Here in Isaiah, the Bible says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. God is our protector. It's all about perspective. I remember talking to my son. Somehow we start talking about height. And we're talking about how tall is God. I think we're talking about the NBA players, and then he switched to God. And then he said, I think he's 300 feet tall. Well, that kind of makes some sense. Well, later, Alan gave a class teaching about God's creation, earth, the stars. The day after that class, I asked him the same question. So after seeing that, how tall do you think God is now? And he thought about, after that class, I think he's more than 1,000 feet tall. It's all about perspective. Yes, the challenge is big. Greater than your enemy is your God. We must remember this. If I can play this real quick. How you feel, but we are gonna get punched. Spiritually speaking, there you go. We're gonna get punched hard sometimes, brothers. We have to go to the corner, get fixed up. That's the one another relationship. Some of us, we've got one eye closed completely. The other one is halfway open. And I'm saying, I'm okay. Really? Let's be humble.
Yeah.
We need to get to the corner, get fixed, speak the truth in love, but still speak the truth. We might lose some rounds, brothers, but we'll win the fight with God. Muhammad Ali, knock down your temptations. Celebrate your victories. Remember what God has done in the past.
Amen. Right.
And what He can do in the future, no matter what. I want to encourage you tonight that God has the power to restore our hearts.
Amen.
I remember being in a lukewarm position in my relationship with God. And I decided, I need to change that. I need to change my heart. Let's do whatever we need to do to ensure their hearts are pumping spiritually speaking. And second and last point, near fit. That means to love God with all your mind. Doesn't make sense, but sometimes humans try to justify their behavior by concluding that God must think the way I think. That's how it was. When I started studying the Bible and I learned the scriptures and the way God thinks, I was like, wow, I do not think like this. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. God thinks differently. Yep. We're familiar with the story, Jericho. God's plan, God's thinking. March on the 7th day, march again, blow the trumpets, and the wall will collapse. Joshua comes to the God's people and says, this is God's plan. Some are like, really? Yes. This is what God said we should do. Some of them doubted. Didn't believe. That's what they were thinking. What we need is serious firepower. A missile. God, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
I remember studying the Bible when my parents were divorced. My dad had another relationship. And I had a lot of hatred towards my stepmom, as well as my brothers. And while he was starting this relationship, was the time that I was studying the Bible. Mm. And I remember having to call her from Atlanta to ask for forgiveness before getting baptized. The repentance part of it. Come on. And I was praying, I was on the subway. I said, God, I feel that I can do this now, but I pray that when I call, she's there, all right? Because if she's not, I'm not sure if I'm going to have the faith then. But I have the faith now. I call, she picked up the phone. I apologize for the hard feelings in my heart. My brothers were upset with me. My mom was upset with me. Oh, now you're on their side. Yeah. It's like, no, I'm trying to follow God's commandments. Yeah. To forgive, right. To be forgiven. Right. Like, here I'm trying to do God's will. In Satan's work, my mom was mad at me. Yeah. But they were not thinking like God.
Right.
I remember when I was pursuing Michelle, the brother who baptized me, he was the one who chose Michelle. She was my first date in the kingdom. And so I owe him a big, big time. He not only taught me about God and salvation, but he picked to be my wife.
Wow.
And he said, you gotta have a plan here, man. You gotta come up with something that you're gonna make her think about you. So she ever was very good in calligraphy. So I came up with this project, came to her and said, I need this. It was kind of a complicated, time-consuming project. And that was the deal, the intent. I didn't want something that she could do in 1 hour and then on Sunday give it back to me. So it was pretty complicated. And then she would come during the fellowship, say, oh, Galileo, I'm sorry. I don't have that ready yet. It's okay, sister, don't worry. Take your time. The plan was that as long as she's thinking that I'm alive, that there's a Galileo, there is hope. I want it to be on her mind. God wants to be on our mind.
Yeah. Come on.
That's good. It's good.
Is here. Here is God thinking, human thinking. Be intentional to think like God thinks. I'm going to go real quick because of the time, but this is a comparison of before I was a Christian. The only thing in common that I had with Jesus was the same creator and male. Don't laugh at me because you're in the same position too.
Come on.
Now this here is the spiritual vision. Now you're trying to move the sinful nature away from your mind? And trying to get the fruits of the Spirit in the middle? I don't think that's arrogance. I think this is for us. We need to have a spiritual vision.
Yeah.
To want to grow spiritually. A brother once told me, are you growing spiritually or are you just aging in the church?
Wow.
Right here? I have some. The Bible says in Luke 1:80, John the Baptist, he grew in body and in spirit. Spiritual vision for our lives. So we just have to find out what are the characteristics of Jesus that are not in our lives. What are the things in my life that do not resemble Jesus? Identify that and take it from there. God loves us and He wants us to start over and find a common ground with Jesus.
Amen. Come on, Gala.
I don't know if you've heard of that expression, do not go down that road. Never heard it before?
Yeah.
When you're not from here, it's kind of challenging to learn about the slangs. But I remember we lived in Brazil, Michelle and I, we got held at gunpoint twice when in Brazil. One was after midweek, when the car, another car, kind of blocked us, guys come out of the car with guns, Michelle in the back seat. It was pretty scary. Another one, we were going to a friend's house. We had just moved to my hometown. And a brother invited us for dinner. We were parking the car. The guy came, and he was right here. I said, give him the keys, the wallets. It was a pretty scary moment. And one time I was on a date with Michelle about 11 p.m. We were going one direction, but I had to go that way. So I turned left to make a turn. When I turned left, it was a very dark road, but at the end, I saw some public lights and also two cars and some men outside. And when I turned left, I had the experience of being held at gunpoint twice. I was like, this does not feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Stop on the brakes, put reverse, back, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be able to identify the roads that we do not want to go down.
That's right. Come on.
Love for money road,
okay.
Unforgiving, bitterness road, any sinful nature you can add to that.
Yeah.
I need to be more attentive to make those turns.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that we're not going to turn to the wrong direction. But if we're aware of God's presence, that sin hurts God and our wives and our families, maybe, perhaps, we'll make better decisions. This year's laser focus, working for near surgery, have a tumor, typically life-threatening situation. And because of technology, now they have this machine called CyberKnife. It actually uses laser radiation to specifically remove the tumor without damaging the brain.
Wow.
The sinful nature in our minds is a tumor. The Word of God, prayer, brotherhood, those are spiritual laser procedures that we need to use to remove the tumor away and keep our brain the way God wants.
Amen.
We'll make the wrong turns, brothers. I remember very briefly taking the what is equivalent to the SAT in Brazil before I came. And my dad said, if you pass the Brazilian SAT, you will go to the US instead. So that last year of high school, I quit surfing. Believe it or not, I used to surf. Quit playing soccer the whole year. Study. For 2.5 points, I didn't pass. I went home and I was just really, really discouraged. Locked myself inside my room. My mom calls me, your dad wants you to go over to his place. I get there. He knew that I was very discouraged. I was like, man, I'm not going to the US anymore. Because he said, that's the condition. And he hugged me. And he said, despite of that, you're still going.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. I know that you gave your best. I still believe in you. Sometimes we can take
the wrong road or fail, but God still loves us.
Yeah.
He believes that we can change. These are the roads to heaven. Patience, love, forgiveness. It's not easy. But we're called to obey. Why? Matthew 3:16, this is the Portuguese version at the end. After Jesus got baptized, God says, "This is my son who makes me very happy." And that's the motivation for us to live by the fruits of the Spirit. Why do I go to church? It's because I love God, because I want to make God happy. Why do I share my faith? Why do I give my contribution? We're thinking about possibly moving to Brazil in the future. I don't know if that's going to work or not, but I'm not concerned about pleasing men. I'm concerned about pleasing God.
Right.
Making God happy. And that's what I'm trying to teach my son. It's not about just the right behavior, but a heart in trying to make God happy. One of my prayers is to make sure that the message of the cross is alive in my heart and in my mind so that I can please God. When we decide to dive deep in our relationship with God, we can then see God's beauty and God's power. And to conclude, I hope these scriptures have encouraged you to seek God, to think about your spiritual health, and more importantly, to love God deeper. Call your faith, love God with all your heart. Near your faith, love God with all your mind. Thank you very much.